Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call of Banca Transilvania regarding the Q3 2020 results. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Ömer Tetik, CEO, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead.
Hello, this is Ömer Tetik from Banca Transilvania. I'm glad that we have the occasion to have this teleconference. I hope everyone is safe, healthy, and from now on, as the new vaccine news are coming one after another, we will be having only good news, good discussions about the health situation and pandemics, and focus on economic and financial matters more. I would like to start, although knowing that all of you are well informed, I would like to start a bit, how to say, the situation in Romania, macroeconomic developments, and how we see the next few months ahead. It's very difficult to make long-term forecasting now because the situation is quite volatile. The news are being also taken as highly sentimental. But on the other hand, as we were telling in our last teleconference, it seems that Romania avoided the technical recession by delivering quite a decent growth. After second quarter's decrease of over 10% of the GDP, in the third quarter, our GDP grew 5.6%, although year-on-year contraction of the GDP is around 6%. So we think that Romania has outperformed both its peers, other emerging markets, and many other European countries in terms of GDP. This shows both the resilience of small Romanian businesses, but also the strength of Romania as a, I'll say, agricultural provider, IT service hub, and also benefiting from maybe partially from internal tourism, development of internal tourism, although HoReCa industry in the big cities is being hit, affected by the lockdowns or measures taken by the authorities. We have seen also the impact of definitely both the mood, but also the financial impact, economic impact of government-led programs, starting with the famous SME Invest, IMMA Invest program, which has been in a big part dispersed and disseminated through the economy in the third quarter. The good part of the House's central administration, as we see, is that we see a good alignment between fiscal and between the fiscal efforts, the government efforts, and also monetary policy. National Bank of Romania has been also accommodative in the third quarter, and the reference rate had been cut to 1.5%. It's a record level, low level for Romania. There is a perspective, there is a possibility of further rate cuts. We don't know if it will be a single rate cut or two steps. Our chief economist is estimating that there is a room of at least 50 basis points of further rate cut. And also, although it's not the third quarter, you have most probably seen that last week National Bank of Romania has decreased the minimum reserve requirements on foreign currency deposits, which brings another another 350 million almost extra 350 million euro liquidity to the market. So I'll say we think that if we will be able to finish the pass through the next few weeks, few months with no bigger challenges in the pandemic situation, Romania will be in the right track to recover what, in terms of GDP, in terms of economic growth, what it lost during 2020, we might be recovering in 2021. at in the light of also good news coming from the vaccine and treatment side. We have seen also, although there had been in a very tight range volatility of euro ron, we see that it's quite stable thanks to heavy foreign exchange reserves, strong foreign exchange reserves, but also quite good interest rates comparatively offered by Romanian borrowers, be it the sovereign or the companies, as compared to other currency interest rates. So although so-called record levels have been touched by euro-ron exchange rate, now we see that it's below 487 and quite stable at its level. Banking system had been, as you know, from the very beginning, very active with declarations from us and from our peers that we are here to support economic activity, to our customers, and we will be, not just that we want to be, but we will be the part, we will be part of the solution. It has been seen in the real economy that the lending growth was quite strong, and corporate loans increased almost 3.5%, mainly also thanks to MMA Invest program or the wind created by such programs. And again, on the exchange rate front, maybe one of the comfort factors is that the loan growth is continuously in the lay. And also in retail, we have seen in the third quarter quite a strong demand on the not only just consumer lending, but also in mortgage lending. Probably retail customers are benefiting from low interest environment, but also creating alternative investments for their loans. Plus, as we all know, Romania needs new housing and better standards for its population. So far, the loans-to-deposit ratio of the banking system stays below 70%. And this is also a kind of good news that during the pandemics, during lockdowns, during economic activities decrease, Romanian households and companies have accumulated savings. And although the consumption was slightly picking up, they also continued having savings. This gives both the liquidity, access to capital, but also enough buffer to meet future or near future fluctuations in economic activity and maybe loan payments. If I would come back to, by the way, I forgot to mention that we have already our presentation in our website. It is being uploaded before our conference call. You can follow the numbers and some of the statements from there. If not, you can download it later. So in terms of Banca Transilvania, as we said, that we wanted to position ourselves at these difficult times as a support factor of the economy, of our customers and existing and new customers. And initially, we have, before the public moratorium, we have announced that we are ready to offer a private moratorium. And also with the public moratorium, we said that we are not going to use the legal option of charging interest to interest. So 41,000 customers, almost 14% of our loan portfolio, below 6 billion lei, benefited from the moratorium. But already 8,000 of those customers are out of moratorium paying their dues, so we don't see yet a pressure on the non-performing loan formation. And we think that, if we will be able to pass the next couple of months like this in terms of Romanian economy, actually all the worst-case scenarios or bad scenarios will remain as a more of an academic study. In terms of our support to businesses, thanks to, but also with our additional effort to government support measures with MMA Invest, we have granted almost how to say, as you know, the program was increased to 20 billion lei, and our part was increased to 4.15 billion lei. Out of the 71,000 customers who benefited from IMM Invest program, SME Invest program, almost 40% chose to have their lending activity, their borrowing to be from BT. This definitely increased our assets in the interest-bearing assets. And one-third of the loans granted by us had been to new customers. This is also, we confirmed our role that we assumed verbally. Our network had been almost fully functional. From time to time, we had to keep one or two locations as a backup, but actually, on average, almost all our locations were up and running. Our systems performed very well, and at maximum, we reached half of our teams from head office and support departments to work from home, and sometimes part of the branch teams. Now we have 40% of our colleagues for our team working from home, and thanks to increased usage of digital offers of BT, now we have this possibility of servicing our customers from home, but on the other hand, also customers have the convenience, not only the safety, but also the convenience. Already 1.7 million customers are using our digital solutions, BT Pay, BT24, Neo, Apple Pay, Fitbit Pay, and so on. We are adding up definitely also new facilities to our functionalities, and BT Pay already has even healthcare and fitness options. Our visual help, our virtual assistant, had been accessed 3.5 times more in the third quarter of this year as compared to first quarter. And we had been also intermediating more than 7,000 donations through our wallet application through BT Pay. In the company side, we have managed to open hundreds of accounts online for capital formation, for establishment of new companies. And also our online lending activity, including the company side, increased 62%. Again, in the company side, in the juridical person side, our interaction, virtual interaction with the customers increased more than 4.6 times. Coming back to our financial performance, actually, our after a very tough second half of March and almost inactive April due to the lockdowns and severe measures, May, June, July started an upward trend in terms of consumption, in terms of spending, in terms of borrowing or lending for us. And we started catching up. Our net interest income is at 1.9 billion lei, slightly lower than the same period last year. This is also partially impacted by the fact that, as I said, that we postponed for 3 months credit card payments. We declared that our customers don't need to pay interest on their delayed or postponed payments, which is going to expire at the beginning of next year or at some time during next year, based on the discussions that banking associations have with the government. And part of it will be recovered on the way. Our pre-provision operating profit was close to 1.6 billion, with a decrease of almost 4% as compared to last year, despite all these changes. But definitely, the most important change came from our cost of risk, which increased to 168 basis points from previous 4 basis points, where we are adapting our models between our with our base scenarios of after the healthcare crisis being passed. Definitely there will be volatility in economic activity and financial pressure of on our customers. We wanted to be prudent and in order and try to forecast what may happen. Despite this, we are glad that we managed to deliver over 14% return on equity with a very strong growth of liquidity, capital base, with quite comfortable, I would say, cost-to-income ratio of 45%. Currently, our equity is at 8.9 billion, and if you include our profit for this year so far, our capital ratio is at 21.8%. If we will go to loan quality, our non-performing loans, the PAR 90 ratio is at 205 basis points, also impacted by the write-offs that we have done in the last month of the third quarter, in September 2020, of almost 400 million lei. And our NPL coverage ratio, including the collaterals, is at 130%. Our deposits, as you know, our strength, which shows us, which shows also the trust and preference of the customers in Romania, had been growing strongly, although putting heavy pressure on the asset generation side as well. Still, most of our deposits, both on the retail and corporate banking side, are in lei. All business lines sufficiently funding their own businesses, if you look from this perspective. And our funding cost from deposits is on a decreasing trend, together with the interest rates in the markets. In retail banking, we reached 3 million active customers. And in 2020, in the first 9 months, we have disbursed over 55,000 loans, excluding cards, credit cards granted to the retail customers. We maintained our leadership position in the plastic cards market with 23% market share. Both on the issuing and acquiring side, we have 4.3 million active cards, over 65,000 POS terminals, and over 1,700 ATMs. So not only through our branch network, but also through our POS and ATM network, we are offering physical availability to our customers 7/24. And what is that we are proud of, especially on the digital banking side, is that over 1.2 million customers have enrolled to BT Pay and Apple Pay applications, which, as you know, BT Pay has been developed in-house, and this is becoming a local but also regional success story itself. In SME banking, we have 330,000 customers, and in the third quarter, actually, more than 2,000 of our colleagues were involved in direct lending and interactions with SME banking customers. With other 7 banks, we have also joined the distribution of EU grants, the grants of 1 billion support schemes, sorry. And out of these, out of this 1 billion euro grant, 50%, slightly above 50%, will be intermediated through accounts of customers at BT. In corporate banking, mid corporate and large corporate, we are over 10,000 customers. The loan balance has increased close to 5%. We have maintained our focus on agribusiness, fast moving consumer goods. There we grew also in e-commerce thanks to our very strong platform. Industrial manufacturing, communication, and definitely healthcare. And our factoring volumes are also increasing constantly. We are glad that despite our prudent provisioning policy and remodeling of IFRS models, still we have a very robust capital to weather even the worst case scenarios, which we don't consider would be the case in the near and medium future. And the bank enjoys over 20% capital ratio, well above requirements of regulatory bodies locally and internationally. Within all these, activities, landing and keeping businesses up and running, not only ours but also our customers. Also, we are reading more carefully. We are following the developments in the ESG part, in the sustainability, and we are willing to allocate more time and resources to that. We want to come with very strict commitments to the market. It not to be just a requirement, but as BT, as the leader of Romanian markets, we would like to lead the conversation there in the financial sector. And we have signed and initiated several programs, including with European Energy Efficiency Fund, with IFC, EBRD, our long-term partners. We are kicking off the ESG reporting in line with the international standards. And also we started already analyzing our customers from this perspective. I would like to mention that also the first 9 months of the year was good for all our subsidiaries, for BT Micro Lending, BT Leasing, BT Consumer Finance, BT Direct, and so had been delivering good results as compared to their peers, to market conditions, and we have been continuing our growth also. We are committed to grow our businesses also on those sides. Thank you very much so far for listening to me. I would like to allocate more time to Q&A. I'm here with Luminița Runcan, our Chief Risk Officer, Mihaela Nădășan, our Head of Financial Markets and Financial Institutions Investor Relations, and our CFO, George Călinescu. In case we cannot answer any of your questions on the spot, we will try to update our presentation or come back to you by email later on. Thank you very much. Let's start the Q&A.
So we will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speaker, please dial 0 and 1 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask the question. If you find your question is answered before it is your turn to speak, you can dial 0 and 2 to cancel your question. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question is from Mr. Jova of PKO BP Securities. Your line is now open.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for your presentation. I have, for the moment, two questions. First, if you could provide a more detailed breakdown of the provisioning provided in the third quarter. We see that the provisioning level was a relatively was generally relatively high, even though the share of the Stage 2 or Stage 3 loans was under control. So I'm wondering why this discrepancy, and then what's the split COVID versus IFRS 9 general provisioning versus other sources of provisioning. And my second question is on the reserve requirement. I'm seeing that at Transylvania, the reserve requirement held at the central bank sits at about 15% of your deposit base, whereas the average of BCR and VRD is rather in the range of 7 to 8%. So I'm wondering whether you have any hint where this difference is coming from, and finally, how this reserve cut requirement would impact your reserve requirement and the deposit with the central bank. Thank you.
Okay, so it's Mihaela. I'm going to respond on the provisioning side, where we were mentioning a couple of times during the year and also in the latest press release that we have changed the methodology. So, in fact, the higher cost of risk compared to what we were having last year is not already related to a change in the behavior of our clients, but it's more or less forward-looking to the possible problems which might occur in the future. So as you know, there is a public moratoria in place. Definitely some companies which might face financial difficulties are still benefiting of that program, so we prepare ourselves for the future. When it comes to the split of the provision, that's more like 90% COVID-related, 10% normal kind of activity related, to the extent we can have such a structure, given the fact that we are speaking about a completely new environment this year. So it's hard to define normality. But in terms of changes in the methodology, like 90% of the provisions are arising from those changes. When it comes to your second question, I'm not quite sure if we got your question properly. So that requirement, or the level of that requirement, depends on the amount we are having in our on our liability side. It's connected to the currencies in which those liabilities, those deposits from clients are expressed in. So definitely the levels might differ from one bank to another depending on the currency structure. And also on the funding type those banks are having. If needed, we can provide you some details with regard to how the minimum reserve requirements are being computed in Romania.
I mean, minimum reserve requirements are being managed as an average, daily average. That's why there you will see fluctuations between different banks depending on the market conditions, depending on the treasury management decisions, but actually the rate, minimum reserve requirement rates are fixed or same for all banks, so there are no differences. But sometimes Banca Transilvania or any other bank can keep a smaller amount for a couple of days, and in order to compensate, when it's end of month, when the liquidity is high and interest rates are lower in the market, you keep higher reserves, where actually sometimes even you arbitrate with the national bank because they pay better interest rates as compared to that those days market rates. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 0 and 1. The next question is from Alex Boulougouris of Wood & Company. Your line is now open.
Yes, hello. If we could go back a bit on the provisioning, please. Maybe if we could have an outlook for the full year, what do you expect in terms of cost of risk? This 160 basis points is something that we should expect for the full year. And in your press release, as you correctly said, Mikhaila, it's the methodological changes in terms of provisioning. And it says on the press release, in line with the recommendation of the NBR and EBA, if you could give exactly a bit more clarity on what these recommendations were, and maybe if there's any outlook for 2021, if it's not too early. Thank you.
Okay, with regard to the provisions for the whole year, we keep to what we were mentioning in the budget, which was drafted at the beginning of the year. So we are maintaining that conservative approach in terms of total cost of risk for this year. So no changes in that respect. And then when it comes to the guidance received from different regulatory bodies, that's like public information in terms of how the banking sector across the world should have a prudent behavior and embrace for future potential problems connected to this pandemic.
It's already, as Mihaela said, public information that National Bank of Romania's stance publicly is that the banks, and I don't think this is the case of Banca Transilvania then, didn't calculate the effects of pandemics, the economic downturn that we have. And also the last quarter of this year, although we are not speaking about the lockdown, still there are strict measures and the sentiment is not as high, as good as third quarter, although economic activity is up and running. That's why I'm not sure if we are over pessimistic or just prudent as necessary.
Okay, and there is no change on the mid-cycle provisioning that you used to guide of 100, 110 bps post-pandemic, obviously.
No, in the medium and long run, this is what we want to manage. I mean, when we were having actually 4 basis points or 10 basis points, we were saying that this should be our guidance, or let's say the level, considering that we are very strong in micro lending, SME lending, and retail banking. But on the other hand, such peaks will be temporary. And based on the economic developments, macroeconomic indicators in Romania, in Europe, and globally, we will adjust our models.
Okay, thank you. And maybe one last question regarding the moratoriums. I mean, do you have any early indications of, from client activity, where they stand, or what will happen once they end? Do you see any early indications, or it's too soon to say of any trends?
I mean, with especially on the corporate side, definitely we maintained our relationship with the customers. We follow the sectors, we follow their businesses, their financials, and try to understand how they stand, where they stand. What I can tell is that, as we also put in our presentation, as I mentioned, already 8,000 customers started paying their dues, their monthly installments. So, and considering that the deposits of Romanian customers in Romanian banking system has increased significantly, we don't expect too many, very bad surprises, I would say. But on the other hand, we keep in mind that in the next, if there won't be any new fiscal stimulus or different regulatory changes in the first quarter of next year, all those people should pay their banking and financial debt. They should pay their rents for their commercial spaces or whatever they are using under rent contracts. There will be tax payments. So if there will, we also support that there should be a smoothing out of all these burdens, which are kicking in the first quarter of next year. And we see that there is a discussion on that. I'll say we are quite comfortable that most of the customers that applied as precautionary measures to moratorium, because in March and April, the economic forecast, including our own budget estimations, were much more pessimistic. They will be able to, and they will be willing to pay their debts.
Thank you, very clear. And one last question, and it's the last one, I promise. On net interest income in the budget, you had a decline of about 11%, if I remember correct, for the full year, and it's clearly much better in the nine-month period. Could you maybe tell us what is the reason for the better performance up to now? Is it a better loan growth or a different assumption for the policy rate cut? Where is the biggest delta on that front?
So maybe you remember from our previous conference call when we were mentioning that for those payments which were delayed, we were not cashing in the interest rate, and that was having a negative impact on the net interest income. So the net interest margin is definitely affected in a quite substantial part by those postponed payments, repayments in terms of loans. So that is having a quite significant impact, around half of what is the decrease in terms of NIM for this year. Definitely the moment we are going to have, again, an even more efficient, or the, what we were saying for the last couple of quarters, that we are targeting to become more efficient in terms of loan to deposit ratio, that's for sure going to help the recovery on the net interest margin. So that, in principle, if, let's say, the public moratoria is not going to be continued next year, we might assume, even though it's a little bit too early, that we are going to be again in that position in which we were mentioning, that we can defend 300 basis points in terms of net interest margin.
Thank you.
The next question is from Simon Nellis of Citibank. Your line is now open. Herman, your line is open. Maybe you're still on mute.
Hi, sorry. Thanks for the call. I was on mute. I came a bit late to the call, so apologies if these questions have been asked. I can listen to the transcript if they have been. My first question would just be on kind of trading and other income. It seems to be quite positive in the quarter. I think it's like 230 billion, around 20% of revenue. What's driving that, and what's the outlook going forward? Do you continue to see such strong trading and other, you know, not fees and not net interest income revenues going forward? That would be my first question.
Indeed, I mean, it's in terms of our distribution of income items, definitely our revenues from fee and commissions were badly affected from second quarter's economic downturn and lockdowns, which started picking up. But because we have some good results, I will let Mihaela, who is running the treasury and portfolio management, to answer why or how we did it.
So, the trading income has, let's say, several items included, and when it comes to the FX income, there clearly we have seen higher volumes and the economic activity, which picked up much better in the third quarter compared to a quite frozen second quarter, is showing some very good results there in terms of as an important part of the net trading income. Then when it comes to the securities portfolio, there again, let's say, we do have, as you might remember, a quite active positioning, and we are trying to both have some trading income, but on the other hand, to make sure that the structure of the portfolio is well balanced, so that we are minimizing on the long term any kind of negative effect when it comes to results in equity or potential future losses when it comes to those instruments which are going through the P&L side in terms of evaluation. So more or less it was like compared to the other two quarters of this year, it was with a plus in terms of volume of transactions, and also with a plus in terms of the recovery of the overall market in Romania.
I mean, are there any bond sales that have kind of led to one-off gains in this line that might not recur going forward?
It was nothing significant, so there were just, let's say, normal kind of trades, so daily trades, which are, if the market is there, those should continue on a quarterly basis, but definitely the market has to, let's say, to be on a positive trend in order to be able to have all those good results.
Got it, thank you. And my second question would just be on lending growth. I think in the second quarter call, you were talking about the SME, state SME lending guarantee program. I mean, how is your involvement in that? Has your limit been increased? And what's the outlook for loan growth going forward from here?
I mean, indeed, this I tried to touch base on that during the presentation. So because the program was the SME Invest, IMM Invest program was launched late May, actually the biggest impact was in the third quarter, thus coming our 3.5, most of the 3.5% loan growth. And there are our initial limit was 3.5 billion, but it was increased to 4.15 billion later on, and we will be utilizing all. So and one third of the SME Invest loans granted were actually for new customers, so that it's just not growing in the existing customers, but refreshing our loan portfolio as well. We SME Invest program itself was a limited program, but we expect that, as per also declarations of the officials and politicians from different parties, there will be more similar programs to come with different sizes and different addressing different segments. So far, if you look at SME Invest, if you look at the Euro 1 billion grants scheme distribution, where we had also 50% market share, I think from the upcoming programs also, with our, I would say, good performance so far, we'll be having a good share. I mean, many years and many conferences we had been mentioning that almost 40% of the new companies, newly established companies, they were opening their capital account at BT. All the government programs in different sectors, we had between 35 to 50% market share. And I guess this will prevail because we are trained to do, and our colleagues, our teams, have shown excellent mobilization to deliver in time results for the customers as well. So if there will be more to come, which I would say yes, but I don't know exactly the details, we will be growing our lending portfolio definitely.
Thank you. And then just last question on the dividends. You did pay out a 2019 dividend, right? The 600 million that was paid. And any signs of hope that you might be able to pay something out of 2020? What's happening there?
I mean, obviously, looking at our results and our buffers, I'm glad that we have, continued our policy and have delivered what shareholders have decided, because we didn't close the year. I mean, there is no, we don't know how the authorities will react. We don't know how our shareholders would like to pursue or, evaluate the results of 2020. I wouldn't give guidance on that. But once we have more, clear vision on that, as I said, it should be regulatory bodies locally and internationally, our shareholders agreeing and allowing that, then we can come back. But I would be reluctant to mention now something on dividends for 2020.
Okay, thank you. That's all for me.
The next question is from Sunde Orchard. Your line is now open.
Hi, thank you very much for the presentation. A follow-up from me on Victoria Bank from the last call. I'm wondering if you have any update on the investigation over there, and you know, if there's anything you can share. That would be helpful. Thanks.
I mean, we don't have any new news on that situation. Actually, due to pandemics taking a severe toll, and due to election periods, there had been a recess on the courts, and there are no developments. In time, we continue our communication, correspondence with the authorities, if or whenever necessary, trying to clarify for them as well the situation. But under current circumstances, we are even slightly more optimistic about a quick, better outcome.
Okay, thanks. And is the operation there, you know, seamless, no issue at all with that, you know, no sort of disruption?
No, the Victoria Bank itself continues banking activity, payments, lending, transfers, all the operations they used to do a few months ago, a year ago or so, they continue doing. The deposit base was not affected. There was, questions also on that in the previous discussions, but we have below 35% loan-to-deposit ratio. It's quite a liquid bank in this sense. So there is no business disruption, and the blockage, as you know, was on the ever-refreshing T-bills portfolio and some of the fixed assets, so it doesn't impact the business, daily business of the bank.
All right. Thank you.
The next question is from Daniela Mundo of Swiss Capital. Your line is now open.
Hello, everybody. I have some questions related to the cost of risk. I'm a little bit confused regarding the cost of risk this year because in the last conference you said that your budget on provision expenses are more suited for a pessimistic scenario. I don't know. We should expect this level because in the third quarter the level of provisioning came a little bit higher than expected, in my opinion. And by the way, could you tell us how much of these provisions are related to the write-offs performed in September?
I think that what we said in the last conference was that the budget overall was more attuned to a pessimistic scenario where there was a combination of credit risk impact, slowdown in business, decreasing commissions, write-off in terms of interest from the clients, and all kinds of cumulative effects that were building up. So, from that point of view, we're happy that our clients, after a second quarter where there was a significant slowdown in April, most notably in their business with the bank, have picked up in terms of business activities, bankable activities, and commissionable activities. However, we do like to follow up with a prudent approach in terms of credit risk, which we think is reasonable. And as we mentioned in our press release, if you follow up with the guidance received from Central Bank and the European Central Bank, you see that they also recommend a prudent approach and to try to identify those clients that are going to have issues following the pandemic. And if you cannot do that, to try to using forward-looking methodologies to estimate sort of like a general impact at the level of the pools of loans that you have that will allow you to put aside some amounts of provisions this year for troubles that will be coming in the future figures. And this is exactly what we've been doing. So if you talk about write-offs, I think the impact was not significant. If I remember correctly, it was around 50 million RON. Additional provision following the write-off, with those amounts being generally provisioned very, very heavily before the write-off was effective.
Yeah, and Daniela, just to let's say to somehow clarify, I don't think we have ever mentioned during this year that we are not going to stick to the budget when it comes to the cost of risk. On the contrary, we said we are staying prudent and we are going to keep this approach, even if indeed when it comes to the prepayment behavior of our clients. Things were not changing that much this year, but we are anticipating that the situation might change next year. So cost of risk, we never said it's going to be less than what we were budgeting.
Okay, thank you. And for the next year, so we should look at 120 basis points.
I guess, as we always said, around plus minus 100 basis points would be realistic in the medium and long term for a bank from emerging markets, from Central Eastern Europe, doing retail and SME and micro lending businesses. But depending on the definitely macroeconomic changes trends, we had been. We are not going to excessively increase our risk appetite, but we might be delivering also better results as we did in the years previous, prior to 2020.
But this is just to, let's say, to clarify. So the 120 would be if next year is going to be a normal year. So that would be like the average throughout the cycle. But otherwise, we have to compute, let's say, what is reasonable throughout the cycle. And yeah, we would be happy to see that next year is going to be such a normal year, but we, let's say, more or less have to embrace also for a less lucky first part potentially. But we'll have to see.
Okay, thank you. And regarding the net interest margin next year, how do you see it? Flat, decreasing, increasing?
Our net interest margin this year so far has decreased around 60 basis points, out of which over 40 basis points are coming from the fact that we postponed payments without charging interest on the installments that are postponed. So we are thinking that we will be very close to our previous net interest margin, but this is only after the moratoriums will be expiring and customers will start paying their monthly installments. We think that we will maintain around 320 basis points in the years to come.
Thank you very much. That is all from my part.
If there are no further questions...
Let's take the last question. Yep.
If there are no further questions...
Sorry for interrupting.
So I just hand back to you for the conclusion. Is there no further questions?
There are no questions?
No.
Okay. So, I'm glad that we were maybe that clear. But as we are going through unprecedented times and market moods, news are ever-changing, please do not hesitate to contact us, our investor relations address and the team. Mihaela and her colleagues are always willing to clarify and answer your questions, if any. And if we will not be able to speak until then with some of you, I hope that we will have a better 2021 and you will be able to enjoy holiday periods with the beloved ones in safety and in healthy conditions, having some joy at least this year. I guess everybody deserves having some joy in their lives. Hopefully we will be hearing each other any case in February when we will discuss our, publishing our year-end results. But again, until then, if you have any questions, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you very much and stay safe.
Thanks. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect now.